Right now it is time for our visit with our good friends at theberkshireedge.com. That's where you can find theberkshireedge.com. But they join us also on a Wednesday morning, and we take a look at some of the stories they're covering in the South County area and adjacent areas of our listening area. And we say once again, happy holidays and good morning and a pre-happy new year to both David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning on this Winter Wonderland Day. It looks beautiful out there.
Well, we got a little bit of snow, but then we got the rain on top of it, and
no, we got snow. It's snowing right now for us.
How much snow do you have?
Oh, 10 or 10 feet, maybe.
Well,
I would say more like a quarter of an inch.
Well, that's
it's half inch, maybe.
Well, God bless you for having snow now. We had it overnight and then a little bit of freezing rain on top of that.
I feel so badly for all the ski places.
Well, the whole thing now, the ski technology, they are able to make snow when it's like 32 to 34 degrees nowadays.
Yeah.
They can still make the snow.
When it rains immediately afterward.
Yeah, pretty icy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think they call that pack powder.
I understand what that term means.
Not that I know or understand, but I think that's packed powder when that happens.
Really?
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the stories that that you have sent to me that we're following. And once again, we will let people know. We just select a few stories on this 20 to 25 minute segment. The BerkshireEdge.com has these stories up all the time and adding more on a daily basis. The lead story we're going to talk about, former State Senator Ben Dowling, who had announced...
Ben Downing.
Downing, he had announced he would run for governor, but I guess not so, huh?
Nope, he bowed out.
He ran out of money.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Yeah, he's a good guy, though. I mean, he would make a good governor, I think. But he's up against Charlie Baker is
a juggernaut. He is a fundraising juggernaut.
But Charlie Baker is not running again.
No, he's not. Charlie Baker has been in this Democratic state of Massachusetts, every so often we elect a Republican governor for some reason. And Baker has been one of those popular Republicans that we seem to fasten on to. But Ben Downing is a state senator and a progressive guy. His dad was for many years the state's attorney here in Berkshire County.
Takes a lot of money to run for governor. It takes a lot of money now to run for state senator. Nothing is cheap in politics anymore.
It takes a lot of money to run
true.
For dog catcher.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's one problem we have with our system. Ever since Citizens United, the money that flows into campaigns now, it used to be presidential and senatorial, Congress, but now that money flows into also local campaigns because it's just the cycle we live in. It cost about $50,000 or $60,000 to run as a representative for our district here in Connecticut, and that is just
federal representative.
So it costs anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 to run for a state representative. Mm-hmm. It's the money is just.
It's not just for us. It's just not. Campaign money alone. Yeah. I mean, Ben Downing is, a state senator from the most western and rural part of Massachusetts, and he is not as well known. And it takes a great deal of money for him to kind of propel his candidacy to the more, densely populated areas of the state where he may not be so well known.
Patrick Duval.
We're on the other side of the mountains. Yeah. It's kind of like we don't exist out here in the Berkshires.
Yeah, but Patrick Duval did it, right?
Patrick Duval did.
But he didn't. He wasn't a full time. I mean,
okay.
He always had a second home.
Right.
In Richmond, in the Berkshires, but he wasn't a full time resident.
Okay, so he was well known on the other parts.
He was well known on the other side, right?
Yeah.
And I think he probably still lives in Boston, although he spends time here.
Yeah. Well, I think Ben Downing would have made a great governor. Mm-hmm. I've always liked him. He comes from a family whose public service is well known, because his dad was for many years was the DA here.
You know, as we wrap up the year, this next story is a great story. You've got a story about a worker co-op in Pittsfield, Rosenkohl's Transport. They aim to provide transportation for the city's poorest neighborhoods so they can supply those residents a way of getting to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a terrific story. David, go ahead.
No. The name of the transport service is Rose and Cole, and
we have the phone number.
And we have the phone number, so in case anyone out there needs to get a ride to work, you know, they can give them a call. But this is one of those good deeds that you hear about every so often, and this is another example of people providing a service that is, you know, that people may not be aware of is needed for workers.
And it's a half fee transportation for low income people. It was the idea of a young woman who's worked on a couple of different sort of worker owned, worker co-ops, and she came up with this idea.
Right.
She did something. She founded something called Roots and Dreams and Mustard Seeds, which is a Pittsfield-based co-op incubator. And then she decided that she set her sights on a transportation startup.
Right.
So we have her to thank. But it's like an Uber, but at much lower prices, and it's worker-owned instead of just... worker participation. It's worker owned, so it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next story: David Edwards interviews set designer Carl Sprague of Stockbridge. The new work on the Wes Anderson film, The French Dispatch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, Carl Sprague lives in Stockbridge, and he's a filmmaker. His family is well known in the Berkshires.
Are they Sprague Electric?
Yeah, they are Sprague Electric. That's this family brand.
Sprague Electric, as you know, is their factory became Mass Mobile.
Right. So they have been involved in the Berkshires for generations. And Carl is a well-known set designer. A really interesting, a great guy, actually. And he has one among other things that he does is he has a in the holidays is he puts on a puppet theater show for families, but he's really a set designer and he works. He's working for Wes Anderson in his new movie, The French Dispatch, and we have a story about Carl's work, and we have pictures of his puppets that he likes to has made over the years, so this is something.
But Carl is, yeah. I mean, Carl. You know, Wes. Carl not only works for Wes Anderson, but he has worked for a lot of. I mean, it's exciting to have somebody like this here in the Berkshires. But he has written. He has worked on a lot of different movies. I mean, he worked with. Martin Scorsese on The Age of Innocence, with Steven Spielberg on Amistad, with David Fincher on The Social Network, he worked with the production designer for La La Land, which and that production designer David Waska won an Oscar for his.
By the way, that I have to mention, I happen to know that David Waska.
Yeah.
He comes from Shaftesbury, Vermont.
Oh, really?
Or he grew up in Shaftesbury, Vermont.
Yeah, and he worked at the Old Castle Theater Company.
That's right.
In Vermont, in mm-hmm. Bennington. And,
right.
And he also worked on the Royal Tenenbaums. I forget who the director is of that one. But so he has been, you know, and he's been working on these movies while living here in Stockbridge and running the doing this annual puppet show.
Right.
And you know, he's a very innovative guy. So so he tells the story about how he got involved. So any movie buffs out there would really enjoy. He did the Grand Budapest Hotel also with Wes Anderson. So he's you know, he's done very creative work. And he says that how he got his start is that his great grandfather made this puppet theater, and his grandmother made like 50 puppets, and he's made a lot. And so this puppet, this family puppet troupe, keeps growing, and he shares it with the community. I think it's been done already. He did it over last weekend, but
yeah.
Anyway, something to look forward to next year. A little-known holiday treat.
Why not? We need
yes.
more little.
And, and then we have also, just you know, to show the variety of stuff that we have on the edge. We have this another annual holiday favorite. We have our satirical holiday house tour, which is done by
Gary Levier.
Our local historian, Gary Levier, and this is very funny. I mean,
every year he does this.
Yes, this has to be seen, but he goes around, he has pictures of a holiday house tour.
But he's satirizing these house tours.
Right.
By depicting these run-down and barely standing structures. And imagines some. You have to imagine them as in some kind of fairy tale way of being, instead of a rundown, dilapidated building, you know, a fairy tale castle.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
So it's very funny, and it has to be seen.
And he also does a series of historical stories for us from time to time as well, and
but so, he does every 2 weeks. He
yeah.
does a column called Then and Now,
right?
Where he shows what things looked like then and what they look like now,
right?
You know, it's interesting. We on Route 40, 41 between Salisbury and Sharon. Over the past, I'll say 10 years, there's a resident that every year adds decorations to his house. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's like 20 trees. There's lights on top of trees. There's lights on. It really is at night. It is one of the most beautiful. And he adds things to it every year. It is now become.
And where is it?
It's if you go between Route Sharon and Salisbury on Route 41.
Yep.
It's right there. And in the wintertime, when it's lit up from 4:30 in the evening, it has become really so spectacular that people now drive to the area and stop and take pictures of it. And
it's a destination.
Well, yeah, and he's whoever it is, I don't know who it is, they've been doing it for years, but they add to it each year. And it really is. And if there's snow on the ground, it is absolutely amazing.
Like tonight,
yeah.
For example.
It's so you know, we have so many people around here and so many things like that, which make you feel just a little bit better, even riding by, which makes a difference in the holiday season, I think.
Well, I must say, you know, for the first time this year, I really feel. I mean, I'm really delighted by the Christmas lights or the holiday lights. You know, I've seen them every year, but for some reason, you know, because things seem so bleak to me, in general, I have felt so uplifted by the decorations on people's houses and lawns, and it's a dark time, and these lights really do lift my spirits.
No, they do, and we're lucky that we have, especially in these bigger displays and these house tours and things like that, that people that want to do it, because it really does, it really does lift your spirit. It's like, you know, you can say what you want about churches, whether you agree with religion or not, but if you go and to a church service, the music that is played in that service is uplifting. I mean, you just can't help it. I mean, it's uplifting, and that's what these lights do. So, and these tours. So, that's a good story about that.
Well, and we have another one also about people in the village of Housatonic, which was a very dark little town. I mean, they've lighted, is it, or lit or whatever?
Lit.
They've lit up the town. And they've done it in honor of a Housatonic resident named Deb Kaufman, who unfortunately died an untimely death from breast cancer. She was an artist, and she had an
art gallery.
There in the, at the,
which is really kind of a community center, art gallery, And she brought, and she encouraged artists in the Great Barrington area. She was really a real light and inspiration for people.
So that's another story of some people in the town lit up the place and
in her honor
right, but to cheer them all to cheer themselves and their all their neighbors up too, so they brought holiday cheer to the whole village in memory of this beloved late resident of the town.
You know, it's interesting. They did the same thing in North Canaan this year, where they have their normal holiday celebration. They have their meat Santa and stuff, but they had all the storefronts this year light up, it makes a huge difference. I mean, I think that's one thing that makes New York City so popular. And I know there's people who are going to say, "Oh, I hate New York City," but in the wintertime, there's so much light. There's so much brightness. It just does something to your psyche that makes you feel better. To me, it does anyway.
Right.
Well, there's something about the community getting together to do that, too, which is in the village of Housatonic, anyways, that is uplifting for not only those who witness the lights and the decorations, but for those who do it. You know, they kind of confirm a community spirit and togetherness that in the depths of winter and the shortest days of the year is really heartwarming, you know?
Mm. Absolutely. Well, I want to move on to the next story, which is a young local artist have a new venue in Lee. Off of It Gallery. I like that name, Off of It Gallery.
Off of It, right. Well, you know, we have what we call Business Monday. We have Real Estate Friday, where we showcase articles on real estate, and for the last year we've been running Business Monday, where we congregate our business stories on Monday. We very often, almost every week, we have a profile of a local business. Because we think that people do business, so they trade with local establishments, and they really don't know much about who the people are who run them, what kinds of challenges they face when they start or operate a business in the Berkshires, and it's a sort of a way of getting to know your neighbor business people too. And so we have a nice story about a new gallery that's opening on the main street of Lee. And it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One is that the young man who's starting it, who is in his early 20s, Miles Lavardi, has never run a business before. He went out to California, and he got involved with some young artists, and he spent time in Los Angeles, where he saw all of the interesting shops on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, which are selling collectibles and interesting, innovative shoes and, you know, interesting design and art. And so he came back to the Berkshires. He is a native of the Berkshires, born and raised in Dalton. And he has now opened this, he's just about, it's going to open in January, a new gallery on the main street of Lee called Off of It Gallery. And it's, Off of It is a kind of a slang term that he picked up in California, which means, you know, sort of out of the way or unusual or interesting. And he talks about how at the same time that he's running this business, he's really learning about business. I mean, he developed a passion for these sort of unique items.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unique shoes and all kind of baseball cards and teacups and, you know, items that were either exclusively produced in small numbers to begin with or are hard to find or came only as special editions, which now makes them collector's items, and also potential investments. I mean, he feels that, you know, when you buy some of these things, you're making an investment, and if you hold on to them for years, that it will pay off for you. But he's also got clothing and, you know, other kinds of lifestyle products. So, and but he says, you know, to try to start a business when you have no business experience is a real challenge. I mean, he had to find people who could teach him, you know, how to keep books, how to, you know, pay taxes, all the things. He's running on his passion for this merchandise that he's offering, but at the same time, he said he could, you know, he had to learn how you run a business. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, first of all, it sounds like it's going to be a fun place to visit, but it's also going to be interesting to watch to see how he develops as a businessman.
I want to go on to the final story because we only have about 2 minutes left, and that is you've got a two-part series, and this is part one of that two-part series on financial New Year's resolutions. That'll work.
We have another series about financial resolutions that won't work.
Well,
that comes next.
Well, we have a terrific writer named Rob Klarfeld, who actually has retired to the Berkshires, but he ran a very, very successful investment advisory firm in New York, which he sold to Citizens Bank. He's, you know, he wants to be part of the Berkshire community now and share his knowledge. So he's been writing regularly for our business section, and now he has, we published the first of a two-part series, and it's called, his column is called Personal Business, and now we have one that's called Financial Resolutions That Really Work.
Part one.
Right. and he's talking, you know, from his experience, these are things that he said, you know, most resolutions fail. He's very
these are New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah. He's sensitive to human foibles. I mean, he said, you know, it's like you know, most people, you know, the reason you fail, it's like when you go on a diet and you don't build in the opportunity to cheat. You know, you have to have some flexibility in your diet and in your, you know, in setting your financial goals. You can't just say, I'm going to spend less money and cut out everything that you enjoy doing, because you're bound to fail. So he's talking about, you know, setting financial goals that are realistic, that build in the kinds of things that you're going to want to splurge on. So he's talking about, you know, how to create a set of financial goals, how to get yourself organized, and how to prepare a budget for the year. Those are the three steps that he talks about in part one, and there'll be some more in part two, but, you know, all of these are easy, and
and doable.
And doable.
And easily, right. and easily findable at theberkshireedge.com.
He is.
Oh, that too.
Well, we're out of time, so that means we have to wait until next year till we speak again.
Yes.
We'll see you next year. Right.
Well, happy, healthy New Year.
Yes.
To all of us and to, you know, to all of our listeners and readers. We have to learn to live with COVID. I had an email from one of our members today who said, you know, we wish in the new year that we get used to living with COVID because we can no longer assume that it's going to go away.
That's exactly right. So, and we, you know what? Just like we get used to the flu and to the common cold.
Yes, exactly.
We'll do it.
Yes, we will.
All right, I want you guys to have a great wrap up of the year, and we'll speak to you next year. Happy New Year.
Yes, happy New Year to you, Marshall.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Berkshire Edge, of course, is available at theberkshireedge.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also right here on Robin Hood Radio at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on the Berkshire Edge on the on-demand page.